Once again, this Monday, we have a gardening call-in show, and joining us is Lee Skidmore. Our topics, we actually have two we'll be covering today. We'll be speaking about fertilizers, some myths about them, how they should be used, and what the numbers mean, and more. And also talking about getting ready for planting your fall bulbs so you'll have color throughout the next spring and summer season. So thank you, Lee, for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
And let us start off with bulbs. And what is this? What is, should be happening at this time of year when you say fall bulbs? There's spring bulbs and fall bulbs.
Right.
Explain a little bit of what does that mean?
Well, our fall bulbs are tulips, allium, daffodils, crocus, hyacinths, the grape hyacinths, muscari, and things that you can buy in nurseries and grocery stores in about 6 weeks.
So you plant them in the fall. A
you
fall bulb means
the fall.
Plant them in the fall.
Yes.
Okay.
What needs to happen right now is you need to decide where you want to put new bulbs. I have a rhubarb bed that no longer has rhubarb in it, and it's about 5 by 4, and I would like to put lilies in there. And so it's going to take hours and hours and hours to get the weeds out and get the soil ready to plant. So my plan is each day when I have time, go out and pull out some weeds and turn the soil so I can get all the roots out. And then after I get the roots out, pat it flat and leave it and watch it. And as weeds come up, pull them so that when the bulbs come into the stores or I buy them online, it's ready to plant. And I don't have all the work of getting the plot ready and then planting the bulb, which could be, probably 20 hours worth of work getting everything done.
And what do you think about, I guess, in planning where to put them?
Most bulbs like sun. In my yard, that's perfect because that's all I have. Height of the flower, depth that you need to plant are considerations. Drainage is always important. And it needs to be a place where the bulbs can spend the rest, years there, because they do come back and they do multiply.
And you mentioned certain bulbs. How many choices, I guess, are out there that work well here? And maybe are there things that don't work well here? Don't waste your money on them.
Well, I don't know that I've had any complete failures with the fall bulbs. Your site depends on what you can plant and what's going to do well. And if it's something you've never planted before, I would buy a small quantity and plant those and see how they do. And, with your record keeping, you will know if it's something to try again or you have to write in your list, did not work, so that you don't waste your money buying bunches of those bulbs next fall.
Do bulbs need a particular type of soil? Do you need to think about prepping your soil?
Well, I think the biggest thing is keep the weeds out. You need to do some compost. You can do like a bulb fertilizer or general fertilizer before you plant the bulbs. And then once they're in the ground, they should be left alone to spend the winter growing roots and getting ready to bloom.
And at this time, do you also kind of plot out a design or place them?
Yes. Your package will tell you how deep to plant and how far apart to plant. So if you have a 4x5 space and it says plant them 4 inches apart, then you can sort of figure out how many of each kind you want. Smaller bulbs can be planted closer together, and the smaller bulbs, because they don't have to be planted as deep, can be layered over your tulips and your daffodils.
Explain how that would work.
Well, if you plant a daffodil and it says plant it 4 inches deep and your grape hyacinth says plant it 2 inches deep, put your daffodils in, put in your soil, and then put your grape hyacinths on top of that and then put more soil on that.
And do they spring up at different times?
They do. Your daffodils will come up shortly after the hyacinths, and so you've got the little flowers first, and then you've got bigger flowers later. I usually like to put the hyacinths around the edge so that I can see them, and then they're not disturbed by the other plants coming up.
And do these bulbs compete with each other? Does it when the daffodil comes up, does it knock the grape hyacinths out? Or they
probably, if you planted directly on top of the other one, it would. But, you know, when you plant them, there's a space between the bulbs. Stick something in there.
Okay. And a reminder, this is a call-in show. We're talking about bulbs right at this moment. And if you have any questions, give a call at 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723, specifically talking about getting things prepared for planting bulbs this fall. You said in about 6 weeks you'll be able to purchase them?
They'll start coming in, yes. And you can reserve bulbs online right now. Or if you buy from a specific nursery elsewhere, then you can contact them and find out what they have, what's new, and reserve a quantity, and they'll be delivered, you know, mailed here when it's time to plant.
And when do you actually plant? When is, I guess, the time to plant?
I plant as soon after the bulbs come in as I can. If they come in and you're not going to plant for several weeks, they need to be kept cool, like in the garage floor, you know, someplace that's not going to be soggy and wet. It's not going to get too warm. So they can maintain that level of dormancy before you put them in the ground.
Okay, again, this is a call-in show. If you have questions, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. And as part of your prep, should you be getting certain, I don't know, materials, fertilizers, something that you would need to plant them with?
Or? Well, if you're using fresh soil, you know, you buy soil at the nursery, I would not fertilize it right away because that's fresh soil and all those nutrients are still there. I do fertilize when the flowers, you know, start coming up. I give them something, a bulb booster, which has a high central number of the three numbers on the container. And then after the flowers are done and before the leaves completely die back, I'll give them another dose of bloom booster so that they have plenty of food to make new flowers for next fall.
Okay, but otherwise, just leave them in the soil.
Leave them in the soil.
And give them more TLC when they pop up.
Right. That's all you need to do.
Are there anything specifically that you need to know about each of those different bulbs that you mentioned? Are there any special things about them?
If you buy some bulbs that are tender bulbs and you have to bring them in, then you need to just make sure you have a place to put those through the winter or through the spring or whenever they go dormant. Most bulbs just stay in the ground.
And what are examples of tender bulbs?
Well, like your amaryllis. Some of your, I can't think of any others. I raise what I know I can raise in my yard. I've got my records of what I tried and did not work. Fritillarias are hard for me to raise because my area is hot and dry. But, you know, I think a small amount of any bulb is okay. Tuberoses don't grow for me, and I don't know why. This is, you know, the second year that I've tried them. So I'm done with those. That red hot poker is a bulb, and it doesn't do well for me in my space. So, you know, two tries and that's enough.
How good does the drainage have to be? Because a lot of yards, I guess, are pretty wet.
Well, you do need good drainage. Bulbs will rot, so you need to make sure you have drainage. And that can be accomplished by raising your beds. If you have to put in rock and then put in the weed mat so that it's porous and water can drain through and then put your soil on top of that. And I've even done that in a couple places. But most of my yard drains nicely and I don't have the bog issue.
I've seen a lot of yards that are lawns with crocuses popping up in them and things like that. If you decide you want to move them, how easy, when should you dig them up? I guess dig the bulbs up and move them about.
I transfer mine after they finish blooming, lift them out of the soil, let them dry a bit, and then put them back in, and I check for damage or rot or whatever, and then I put them back in the soil, and I do it immediately. Right now, I'm moving iris around. Some of the daffodils had to be moved because I bought some things, you know, some other plants. So it's just when my feeling are, if you want to do it, when you have the time and the motivation, go do it.
Okay, there's not like a bad time.
I would think, no, I don't think there is a bad time for most bulbs. If you've got a flower stalk that's 36 inches tall and you've got lilies at the top, you need to be careful moving it so that you don't break the stem or knock the bulb, the flowers off.
Okay. And did you have, I saw you looking at your notes there. Did you have something?
Just if you want to plant a new bulb bed, start your prep right away. And that's the biggest thing. So it's not such a horrendous job all at one time.
Okay. And can I say, we had a caller and apparently lost him on the line. So if you could call us back at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Or if you weren't the caller who called in and you would like to call in with your questions, again, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. Again, right now we're talking about fall bulbs, and that's meaning you're planting them in the fall, and so then you also have your selection of spring bulbs,
right,
which we'll talk about later. When are those available for purchase?
Those should come in, late spring? No, early spring, because you put them in the ground and they bloom immediately.
Oh, okay. So that it's not something that it waits later.
No.
They're quicker.
Quicker.
So these fall bulbs, if you said you can plan to have color throughout the whole summer, how do you do that?
Well, an easy way to do it is to, after you do your spring annuals and you have all that big flush of color, make regular trips out to the nurseries or wherever you buy plants and buy what's blooming right then. If it's blooming right now, it probably, you know, like your stranches are blooming right now, buy another color and take it home, because next year when it comes back, it will bloom at this time. So if you go 5 times during the late spring, early summer, then you've got 5 new plants blooming at this time, so then they'll be blooming next year. And you can make sure you have color all spring and summer simply by buying things when they're blooming and planting them. This is what's blooming in my yard right now. All the sedums, the little ground covers, lilies, hosta, the Mexican primroses, begonias, creeping jenny, astrantia, the plume poppies, dahlias, crocosmia, daylilies, and astilbe. And they all will carry on through. The astilbe will still be blooming the end of September.
So now when you're talking about having color all summer long, you're not just talking, obviously, about bulbs.
No, not just bulbs. Other thing, most perennials have a bloom time, and they either bloom early spring, mid-spring, summer, late summer. And so if you space your buying so that you're buying different plants that bloom at different times through the summer, then you'll have those plants next year, and you'll have color.
And oftentimes people buy things that are, I guess, say, blooming right now. So there it goes, and then
those
there's
mostly your annuals, yes. And once they finish blooming, they'll last out the summer with foliage, and then annuals don't come back next year, usually.
So the best way kind of to figure this out is either look at other people's yards or go to the nurseries and look around?
Yes.
Okay. Again, if you have any questions, the number is 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about bulbs?
No.
Okay. And we also were going to talk about fertilizer.
Yes, we were. Let me remind people to think about where they're going to put their tender plants, their fuchsias, the begonias, the dahlias that have to come in, so that they don't all of a sudden have to do a whole day's work in a garage getting a space ready.
Okay. So another, you mentioned that last time, and you're warning people to plan ahead.
To plan ahead. And, you know, planning. Raising plants are like raising kids. They need attention all the time. And it's not a lot of attention. It's just some attention all the time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. And with respect to fertilizers, let's just first talk about the numbers. When you buy a fertilizer, they have those 3 numbers.
They do. And the numbers, like the 10, 10, 10, is the formula the manufacturer used to create the fertilizer. I'm not a fertilizer expert, and the more I read about fertilizers, the more confused I get. When you read from different manufacturers, you get completely different stories. So the 10-10-10 would be a good general fertilizer, and it would provide most plants with the three major nutrients that they need. The first one is the N, is nitrogen, and that promotes overall growth, helps the foliage, helps the plant fruit, and that's the first one. And a lot of lawn fertilizers have a lot of nitrogen because it greens things up quickly. The middle number, the middle letter, P, is phosphorus or phosphates, and it promotes flowering, helps the plant fruit, and helps with root strength. Then the last one is K for potassium or potash. Depends on the manufacturer what they use. And that's for strengthening the whole plant. So if you use a balanced fertilizer, you're providing major nutrients. And most fertilizers have also micronutrients. And it just gives you oftentimes just a list of what those micronutrients are. But they are necessary for plant growth. I thought I could just run out to the garage and find a box of chemical fertilizer that, you know, that I use, and there was none there. And I really am trying to cut back down on chemical fertilizer. It was a $183 billion business in the U.S. last year. So a lot of fertilizer is being used. I've gone to using composted manure a lot, mixing that in with my home compost and trying to get away from so many chemicals.
And what does compost provide all of those nutrients? How would you know, I guess, if you're short by some nutrient?
Well, like with the blossom rot we talked about last year, you know, when there are tomatoes, the blossom end rot, that tells you that you don't have enough calcium, and that can be remedied with blossom end rot spray. But if you use a well-balanced fertilizer, then you're going to get most of the nutrients that you need. If you're going to plant your tomatoes in a certain area next year, put in some ground limestone now, or when you're getting the bed ready to plant, find a plant food specifically for tomatoes and mix that in so that all the nutrients that tomato plant's going to need is in the soil ready to be absorbed.
And how do you properly use fertilizer? How often should it be used?
Well, again, manufacturers suggest different amounts and times, but whatever the package directions say, that's what I would do. I would read the directions and the cautions and follow them to the letter. That way you're not going to fall into that myth of if a little bit is good, a lot is better. And with fertilizer, if you give a plant too much, you're going to know soon, because the growth will speed up, the plant will be weaker, and it won't do what you want it to do. And if you use a lot of high nitrogen fertilizer, like on your flowering plants, you're going to get beautiful foliage and fewer blooms. So I do use a bloom boost fertilizer, and it has the high middle number. So it'd be like 10, 35, 10. So what's being provided are the nutrients that flowers need. It's what I give my bulbs when the bulb stalks first starts to show, and then after the flowers die before they go dormant for the winter.
And there are fertilizers that are labeled as organic and ones not. And
right.
My understanding is chemical fertilizers have additives or something. Is that?
Well, everything has an additive. It's just, do you want to be more natural or do you want to be chemical? It's a choice that you can make, and you can mix them back and forth. It's just, if you're going to err on the side of caution and use less fertilizer rather than more. Everybody in town is familiar with the Blue Star Garden. We use mostly composted compost that's been left sitting for a while, and seaweed. And it is a beautiful garden, and we occasionally have slugs. The leaf eaters on certain plants, and that can be quickly remedied with a systemic insecticide. We use like Epsom salts on our roadies to keep the black spot down. But mostly we just use compost and seaweed.
Okay, so again, that was a question I guess I was asking earlier, and maybe I didn't make it clear, because you said you've gotten away from fertilizer and used compost, but the compost provides those fertilizing elements, so to speak.
It does.
What does the compost, does it give you all of them?
I'm assuming it does, because if it's not providing it, I'm not smart enough to know that, you know, that leaf is supposed to be 2.5 inches long and it's only 2 inches long. So it's not getting enough something to make the leaves grow better.
But compost seems to do it. That
compost
supplemented with seaweed.
Seaweed. I don't use seaweed at my house because it's a big job to get it off the beach and up. And you have to get permission from homeowners or Forest Service or whatever to do that. So I haven't done seaweed in a long time.
So using compost to enrich the soil, how should you do that? Because I remember in a show saying that it can burn the plants?
No, not compost, but uncomposted manure can.
Oh, okay.
Burn your plants. And you can buy composted manure, which is ready to use. I will put a couple inches of compost on my soil, and then I'll use real fine bark and mix that in as deep as I can go without damaging the roots of the plant. And you know, I have looks like a big garden fork, and fluff up the soil and mix it in and put the additives, and then pat it down flat, and I leave them for the next year.
Prior to us getting together to talk here, you mentioned to me that there are some myths about fertilizers.
The biggest one is if a little is good, a lot is better, and that's just not true. That's the major myth about fertilizers. And I don't know if, you know, how you can prove that this brand is better than that brand, or organic is better than this. It's a personal choice. I know organic gardening is very big and very important for lots of people, and so they're going to follow the organic gardening guidelines, or, you know, whatever they want to do. If you read the labels on fertilizers, it says not to be used around vegetables, or okay to be used around vegetables. Some of them say if you fertilize with this, you have to wait so many days before you pick and eat it, so that chemical has passed through. So there's just, fertilizer is something you really need to read about.
Sounds like something important to read that label.
It's very important to read the label, and read the label before you buy it, because you may decide, you know, this is going to cost me $6 and it's going to last 4 years, or I can go buy a bag of compost and I'll have to replace a little bit every year, but I'm more comfortable using compost than using chemicals.
And do fertilizers expire? Do they, or can they generally? I don't even know.
If they get wet, they're going to lose some potency. They may just completely dissolve. I don't know. I've never read an expiration date on fertilizer.
All right, again, this is a call-in show. We have a few minutes left. If you have questions, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. Did you have something else about them that you wanted to mention?
I think the biggest thing is read the directions and the cautions and decide if you want to use it. And I think making a plan is important, because you don't want to do compost and fertilizer and seaweed and, you know, assume everything is going to be okay, because you can't kill your plants with too much fertilizer. If you put on fresh manure, you can kill your plants and you may get a burst of weeds. So just, you know, think about what you want to do and decide, I want to do this for the whole next year. And stick with a plan. And again, if you're keeping records, here's my plan. Here's what I started with. Here's when I need to do it. Write on the calendar when you want to do the next step.
And you mentioned speaking about manure, though that isn't the topic we were on. Do tell a little about that. When do you mix it in? Do you do it before you plant your plants so that you don't burn plants? What do you do? How do you deal with
using manure? If you get fresh manure, horse manure, then you need to. I put it in a compost pile. And leave it there all winter, until it's, you know, crumbly good like the rest of my compost. Some kinds of fertilizer, like I think rabbit fertilizer, you can use immediately. You don't have guaranteed analysis on it, so you don't know what's in it. I assume if the rabbit was healthy, the poop is healthy, and it's okay to use it. I would use it sparingly, lightly. I would, you know, look up rabbit manure online and see what their suggestions are.
Okay, so if it's not already composted manure, you need to put it in your compost pile first or mix it and let it
That's my suggestion.
Let it age, I guess.
And see, and I don't use fresh manure, so I don't know really about it. There's lots of people who get manure here, you know, on the island and use it and have wonderful gardens, but I don't know the prep that they do with it before they actually use it.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Jean joins us. Good morning.
Can you compost now after your plants are up, and how do you do it?
To put like plant, like vegetable bits and pieces around the plant.
Oh, she hung up on us.
Oh.
I guess, Jean, she had a further question of, I think Jean was asking, can you, even though the plant is up and growing and doing well, should you add compost to that? When should you be, I guess, adding the
I think
compost?
You could add compost, you know, put a layer on the top of the soil, a thin layer, so that the nutrients are leached into the soil. If you're meaning like table scraps and vegetables to put around the plant, I think I might be cautious about that. Ants, rats, mice, you know, any of those things could come to eat, dogs or cats. But just plain regular compost, taking it out of your garden, your compost bin, and putting around your plants, yeah. Do it now.
And you need to make sure that compost is ready to use. How can you tell? I've been told it's like kind of the color and odor of it. It doesn't have an odor to it.
It smells like fresh soil when it's ready to use. And that's what if it smells good, it probably is good. And if there's a little bit more breaking down of what you put in your compost pile, I think it's okay. The biggest thing is to make sure it gets up to a good heat to kill the weed seeds that you put in there. And I can't tell you what it is right now, but you'll actually see steam coming off the top of the compost pile as it is working, as it's composting.
Okay, so I hope, Jean, that answered your question. If not, give us a call back, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. We just have a few minutes left, so if you have a question out there for Lee Skidmore, again, our two topics, we're talking about fall bulbs and also fertilizers, and maybe you have some info as well if you've been working with, say,
compost.
Manure or compost or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Again, just a few minutes left here, though. Give us a call, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. Anything else, Lee, that comes to mind with regards to this topic?
Let me say one more thing about making compost. I want to use what I made last year. Put everything in there, let it sit for a year. Use it all up so that I can, you know, have a new fresh pile making compost. I don't make very much compost in my yard, and so I want to use it all right now. I think it gives the plants a boost. And if it's applied thinly, I think you could apply it at any time. I probably have 3 wheelbarrows left to use. I want some to go in my new bulb bed. I want some to put around, like, under the hostas, around the lilies to just fortify them.
And you have a fairly large yard?
I do.
Yeah. So is it best to, if you don't have a large yard, you only need a small amount of compost just to not compost everything, and so that you have, like you said, a yearly supply for however large your garden is? Does it go bad?
No, it doesn't go bad. Okay. And I think it's a personal choice. You can use everything. You can compost everything that comes out. I don't, you know, if you have bears, I wouldn't do fish. If you are concerned about ants and mice and that kind of thing, then you just need to be a bit more careful. I think the finer you chop it up before you dump it in, that's good. Always put your eggshells out there because that's the calcium. If you have your tomato bed, put the eggshells in your tomato bed to make sure you have plenty of calcium there for them.
Okay, and the eggshells, just kind of crush them up and put them around the tomato? Or?
Well, I like to put mine in the blender.
Okay.
They mix in the soil better. I think they decompose faster. Uh-huh. And just a little water in the eggshells and then go pour it around.
Okay. Well, I don't see more calls coming in, so I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Any final thoughts?
Start planning for your bulbs and planning where to put your tender perennial annuals when they need to go in the garage.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lee Skidmore. And again, thank you so much to those who called in. Hope we got your questions answered, and we will be continuing with more garden series throughout the summer.